Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of NEST Radio. Today I have with me Dr. Shakiruddin Taiwo and Mr. Abdulaziz Faranga. We will be delving into a new publication, the NEST Stanbic IBTC Business Confidence Monitor. So we're just going to be learning a bit about the Business Confidence Monitor and also delving into some of the results that we have so far. Okay, welcome Dr. Shakiruddin, welcome Mr. Faranga, it's great to have you with us.
Yeah, good afternoon, Dr. Shi. It's nice to also join you on this platform to share insight on that. Thank you for having me on it.
Great, fantastic. Welcome Mr. Faranga.
Thank you for having me also. It's an honor to be here with you discussing the Business Confidence Monitor.
Fantastic. Thank you both so much. Okay, so the Nigerian Economic Summit Group, NEST, and Stanbic IBTC released the second edition of their monthly Business Confidence Monitor last week with the title, Weak Performance and Uncertain Future, Define Nigeria's Business Environment. Okay, so it was the second edition. So there's a first edition that we released last month. So we're just going to be looking into the report. We're also going to be looking into what the monitor is all about. Okay, so the first question goes to Dr. Shakiruddin. Dr. Shakiruddin, can you provide an overview of the Business Confidence Monitor? Can you talk us through what the primary objectives are and what readers can expect from this and future BCM reports?
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Shi. So this report is the kind of report that is very important to the business sector. And it's also very important to the government, as it sort of provides a monitor or gauge to the government with respect to how businesses are responding to policy changes. So the relevant or traditional economic data that we have are usually on a quarterly basis for majority of them, such as the real gross domestic product that measures the performance across of the economy across sector. And these are the sort of not like a delay, but the release part data usually takes around 16 days or 50 days between the last period that will be reported. So what do I mean by this? It means it takes around 1 month and around 20 days before the report on Q3, which ends on 31st of September, would be released. And for businesses, it means, or for investors, for businesses, even for government, it means what has happened in October is yet unknown in November, even to make a decision for December. So this issue around sort of one, not like a delay, but when you compare to need, the timeliness of this information gives that need for us to have something that measures business performance. We know there are also some other indicators that would have that are monthly series, just like inflation. It gives us more like an hint into the cost of goods and services to the consumer side. And you must understand that from the producer side, we scarcely have something that measures producers' price index that gives a measure to what is even the cost of doing business to businesses in the country, to producers in the country. So when we sort of notice this gap and then approach our partner, the Stanbic IBTC Bank, that this is kind of a product that creates a lot of economic value by ensuring timeliness of important economic data or information. The second is that it also helps investor businesses to also make a decision that are guided by information available in the public, not like the delay that we have. So it helps in terms of quality of investment and production decision for businesses and investors. It also helps government in terms of adjusting policy. Somewhere like, the monetary policy rate will be adjusted on a bi-monthly basis. But it should be a gauge in between the months that tells the monetary authority that either the increase, the hike, or the reduction in rates in past meeting has affected businesses this way. So it's more like these are some of the reasons that the NESG, the Nigeria Economic Summit Group, and our partner felt there's a need for this kind of data. Lastly, we also have some existing similar reports that are currently being released by the Central Bank of Nigeria or the Standard IBTC Private Sector PMI. But this is more like progressive, it covers more like a good representation of key business activities in the country. So it's as a result of that we thought we should continue and see it as a matter of supporting the national interest on the economic side to ensure we have adequate information about the state of businesses. And as a private sector led think tank, we need to keep telling the government, our members, our constituents, now that we represent the private sector, how they are feeling, what is their state of business performance, what is their future expectations, which are included in this report. So that is some of the reasons why we actually developed this research product in collaboration with the Standard IBTC.
Great, fantastic. Thank you very much for highlighting the importance of the report and its timeliness. Okay, so we'll move over now to Mr. Paranga. So Mr. Paranga, the maiden edition of the BCM was launched at the 30th Nigerian Economic Summit last month. Can you just talk us through some of the key findings from that report?
The reports down to October, and so we've seen just some deterioration in business and conditions, especially on the Nigeria's and private sector performance. We've seen that weakening further in October compared to what we had in September, or compared to what we had in the first 9 months of the year, and that as the underlying business and economic challenges remained intact and for that particular period. So in terms of numbers, or putting numbers to this, we've seen the current business performance index, we've seen that weaken to about 23.2 points in October from the negative 11.1 points in the 9 months of 2024. So what this is just really pointing to is that private sector performance is still negative, but this is a mild negative, because if you look at how this result is being interpreted, so between negative 0 to 30, and that's a mild negative performance, and then it is then significant if we have between 60 to 30 index points, and between 60 to 100 index points, then that is severe performance from the private sector. And this still just continues to weakness and to reflect what we've always been seeing since the beginning of the year with regards high interest rates, then the continuous currency depreciation, and elevated price pressure. So those continues to dampen business performances, and as a result of that, we've seen negatives, at least negatives and current and performances across all the sectors that we cover for this business performance index: agriculture, trade, manufacturing, non-manufacturing, and even services, with the major or with the most significant deterioration still occurring across the agriculture and the manufacturing sectors, based on the survey responses.
And it's also important to note that while we would have agriculture and manufacturing having the most dampened negative growth, want to put it that way, is because these two sectors are heavily dependent on imported inputs for their production activity. So we have the fertilizers being imported, we have the seedlings, even where we have some seedlings being more like produced, we still have, depending on some of those things that are core input into these two key industries being imported. As a result of the elevated level of depreciation in the currency that Mr. Kuranda has mentioned, so it actually increases the cost of production for players in this sector. And when you actually add insecurity to the bit of the issue, then it then sort of complicates more. As I saw, we have huge issue with harvesting when it comes to the agriculture. You know, don't also forget that we have issue with post-harvest loss. That is also another component. But we have issues with insecurity that is also biting hard on some of this sector. Then when you add the issue of insecurity to high cost of input to weak infrastructure, when you add it to the issues affecting manufacturing, then you are dealing with issues that has to add up to high input costs, such as high logistic cost as well. Then the government policy dynamics then comes to play here. Issue of fuel subsidy removal is also biting hard on the people. And always keep notes that we actually import most volume of our refined petroleum products. So it also means this elevated level of exchange rate depreciation also has a role to play across sector. Just to add to that.
Great. Thank you very much for the comprehensive answer, Mr. Kuranga and Dr. Shax. Okay, so we talked about some of the issues. Now, can we just break it down a little bit for our listeners? So, Dr. Shax, this is to you. Based on the current business performance index of -23.24, how would you describe the business environment in October 2024? So, you know, what words are you going to use to help us to understand what's going on in the environment?
So, just like Mr. Kuranda said, so my description will also be that mild in describing the environment, but you have to know it is grossly or highly dampened business environment. So we have an environment that is weak. We understand we had around 11 negative points, which shows a mild negative, but in terms of the degree of mildness, it has then increased from 11 to 23.24. so that is more like the double of whatever we did. So we are telling them that the broad, put it in terms of index point, you are saying an index point has doubled, because we have 11.13 in the first 9 months of the year. Then in October you have 23.24. it's just like we are saying businesses performed worse in the first 9 months, but in October, when compared to September performance, they have performed worse, in more like two times worse than what it did in September. So this shows that business performance generally is weak across the key sectors, and we also have the business environment facing key severe challenges. So it means the challenges that are within the business environment, that some are structural, some are policy induced, but the structural have actually amplified within this period. Inflation remains very high, and once the inflation is very high, it affects the demand condition of the consumer. Once the demand condition is very low, it affects sales, and once sales is low, it actually increases inventory of some of these companies. They have a larger stock of goods in the store, in the warehouse, and when this is also high, it means production will be low. What production it will, it affects everything. So we are seeing this. We have issue of rising operational costs. We have issues, though some of these issues we know government is working on some of them. However, they are still more like elevated issue of double taxation, issue of infrastructure inefficiency or inadequacy. So we have some of these issues more like increasing. And when you then look at the policy posture of the Central Bank of Nigeria with respect to hike in monetary policy rate. This actually translates basically in layman's time to higher cost of credit to this business. And we know that the credit is not like the oxygen to businesses, the financial sector, the credit that business access from the financial service sector, they are more like the oxygen for businesses to breathe, to grow, and to survive. And so when you are stifling this oxygen, it then affects employment. And so generally, Nigerian business climate at the moment, it's constrained. It's weak, not to say it's poor, but it's very weak. It's very weak that it is not encouraging production, and it's also not encouraging investment. And if you look at in the last 9 months, the NYSE has actually met a lot of some of these foreign investors, big institutional investors. So they're also concerned about these issues as well. So these are more like a combination of policy in deals, a combination of unaddressed structural challenges that have then becoming very big at the moment and huge, that is then affecting production as it comes in form of an increase in cost of doing business, is discouraging investment, is weakening demand, and it's just worsening the overall business climate in the country. And just to clearly say this, so we in the month of October, we asked businesses to actually rate some of the top 12 business challenges that they have in the period. And the core issues is the issue of power shortages, incessant power cuts, inadequate supply of power was identified as the biggest business challenge in the month of October. So as a result, many companies are forced to rely on costly alternative source of power. And you know, you actually know the reason for that. High cost of fuel, high cost of diesel. So as a result of that, there is huge budgetary pressure on businesses. So businesses can't cope. So businesses are then forced to either choose between reducing production, and once they do that, they are cutting employment immediately. So these are some of the issues. So to generally just say the business climate, even from our index point, is saying is I'm mad at the moment, but I'm switching it to a significant level of negative performance. And it's just more like it is not ideal for the kind of growth and economic recovery that the country needs at the moment.
Great. Thank you again for drawing out many of those issues. I think, you know, we've really painted a picture of the main challenges that businesses are facing, particularly within the year. All right, so now over to you, Mr. Kuranga. So just like we've talked about, the current business performance index declined to -23.24 in October, down from 11.13 points over the first 9 months of 2020. So what do you think are the main factors that drove this decline? Why do you think the business environment is performing worse?
From the survey responses, and as Dr. Shakuddin also mentioned, in the questionnaires, you also have we also asking the responders on some of the key issues they are facing, and from the October's responses, inflation still remains a key challenge for these businesses, as this is eroding purchasing power and also raising operational costs for these businesses. We've seen the monetary policy rate being increased by 850 basis points so far this year, and we've been seeing some improvements in transmission mechanism, which means that these high interest rates in combination with high inflationary pressures is leading to increases in credit costs for these businesses, and also dampening the demand conditions for their customers. So as a result of that, we saw that for the current month of October, access to finance is a key issue for these businesses, and this is not surprising given the high operating environments with high interest rates, which is limiting access to credit. And because access to credit is low, it then means that business expansion was also low in the month. And as business expansion is low, it gives rise to poor employment levels. And also employment levels is also poor, it means that workers do not also have much of wages or income to purchase goods and services. This then also led to limited cash flows for the businesses. So it's more of a sequence for these businesses, and all of which then significantly negatively impacted business activities in the month.
Thank you very much. Again, highlighting some of those key issues, but the issues of high interest rates and inflation as, you know, being one of the main drivers of this decline in the business environment. Okay, so we'll come back to you, Dr. Shakiruddin. So we've talked about how the business environment, you know, is very constrained, how there are all these very many issues that businesses are dealing with. Now, from the results for October, were there any notable variations in business performance across sectors, or was it just, you know, see similar levels of constraints across all sectors of the economy?
Yeah, thank you very much. So, but in terms of pattern, we see it's similar. In terms of pattern, so they all actually performed negatively in the negative region. However, in terms of magnitude, it's expected I would see some sectors based on their level of development, based on transfer ability or capacity to transfer some of these burden to the next level within the value chain, also actually plays a key role in the magnitude. But generally, the across all sectors captured in this study, we have all performing negatively, which generally actually reflects the general business climate in Nigeria. So we have those sectors that have high cost transferability, they performed, so their level of negative performance actually a little bit lower than others. So where are these services? The service is the first. Service has -6.9, which is pretty mild. And the reason for this is that service providers or firms providing services could transfer some of these costs incurred to their clients in form of realize that is free, among other things. So if, for example, I'm a consultant and I'm offering a service, if there's any service cost increase which has affected my operation, I can transfer it to my further consultant. So in this way, so final clients or those people demanding for service-based products are actually the final receiver of those goods. So that's why, you know, in basic public finance, you have them having the largest incidence of business tax. So those happened with operations as well. The increase in price of fuel was transferred totally by the transporters to the passengers. So that's why we have it. But it's negative because there is sort of decrease in even the transport sector GDP in Nigeria. There's sort of increase there because people then have to choose either to just stay in the increase the number of remote working, you know, some of these strategies were developed, mitigation strategies were developed. So we have semi-sector having the least. And so one of the key callings during the survey was that, for example, for advertising firms, so since there was an increase in broadcasting costs per head at the end, so they were able to also transfer this to their client. But this when then this but did in terms of the volume of activities was to do with this volume of activities. So the one like it affects the total volume of activities, but they were able to transfer the cost. So service sector were able to do this, whether in the ICT or the telecoms sector as well, where they are able to transfer some of these costs among others and professional services. Those are more like the sub sector activities under the service sector. Then the next least affected sector is also trade. So trade also has some level of, which is -23.45, but it's actually higher than services, but also deals with transferring of goods and services. But there's more larger component of the increase in cost of operation that comes in terms of higher prices. They're also able to transfer some to the consumer. So that's why we have these two sectors having that more like mild but very low. But the largely affected sector is then the agricultural sector that has a significant decline in business operation, -30.47. And just to tell you, this is the first time we are seeing a significant decline in this study, and it's in agri. And it's a combination of a lot of factors in terms of business performance. Agri was in terms of cost of input very high, in terms of post-harvest loss is still there, in terms of even adversity we have it there, in terms of their delay in some of this, so a lot of combination of factors actually affected agri. Then followed by manufacturing. Just like I've said, these two sectors, the next after agri in terms of negative performance is manufacturing sector. And all over the news, I know on a weekly basis, you have to see a comment from the manufacturers or the Manufacturers Association of Nigeria making a comment representing that particular space within the economy. We have seen the exit of some big pharmaceutical firms in Nigeria, just more like converting their operations to basic sales and marketing only. So they have gone out, the manufacturing bit of their production layer is out because they can't come. So this manufacturing sector is actually also coming out to say we have challenges. And there is a link between manufacturing and agri. There's a very strong link, direct link. The forward link between these two sectors doesn't forward from agri to manufacturing, and backward integration of manufacturing to agri is very strong. And I think this has also forced some of our FMCG companies operating in Nigeria to also do a lot of backward integration projects, that they are now farming their inputs because they can't actually survive in an environment of a highly depreciating currency. It's going to lead to increase in cost of input. So we have it followed by a Greek, and the next is non-manufacturing that actually captures more like our oil and gas, the oil and gas services, the oil and gas services companies, the construction, and the broad sector. We also see construction also declining in the period. So some of these are key broad issues of how this sector fed. So just like I've mentioned, those sectors that were able to transfer their cost of operation, higher cost goods and services, depending on the degree, were able to perform the least negative. But those that, in terms of their product, they sort of, if there is an increase, there's a level or a period to which producers in the green sector will hold up their produce. If not, they have huge post-harvest loss. So this issue of smallholder farmers selling at a giveaway price is still very huge in Nigeria. I also have the manufacturer as well being affected by some of these issues.
Thank you very much. Highlighting some of the nuances that we see across sectors, even though all sectors sort of face you know, negative performances, but, you know, there are some variations that we can see based on the type of activity that they're engaged in. Okay, so back to you, Mr. Furanga. So looking ahead, what is the outlook for the business environment, and what are the major factors currently influencing these sentiments?
So for expectations from these businesses, part of the survey that talks around this is the futures and expectations on future and business expectations, and this looks at between the next 3 months. And so this survey participants, they are expressing some cautious pessimistic expectations on possible improvements in business performances. And so and this is still being driven by the expectations around the fact that they're expecting and the demand conditions, and also some of their operating profits, they're expecting those to improve in the last quarter of the year. And this is in line with the usual festive season, festive activities that we usually see around that period. So they are expecting a slight uptick in business and performances. So being cautiously pessimistic in this is just saying that they are still expecting some form of negative performances, but it will not be up to what we've seen so far in the first 10 months of the year. So that is just pointing to the expected impact of this festive season, and also the expected improvement in business activities as a result of this festive season. So they are seeing some improvements in demand conditions, which should also provide some respite for them in terms of their operating profit. So far, based on this trade, we are expecting improvements in the manufacturing sector, and businesses are also expecting some form of improvement in agri sector. But because there are still some negative expectations around trade and also non-manufacturing industry. So on the balance of factor, looking at the positives and the negatives in terms of sectors, so overall expectation is sitting about negative 3.1 points, which still points to what I explained previously around business still indicating some cautiousness in terms of performances over the next 1 to 3 months. So expectations around demand conditions, operating profits, and also spare capacity for these businesses. So some of the negatives on contractions are still coming around investment activities, and also production, as well as orders with regards and supplies. And these key issues of exchange rate volatilities, high inflation, low investment, and insecurity that are still expected to persist, although on a slightly moderate levels over the next 3 months. So far, we've seen stability around 1650, 1680, 1690 levels for the FX. Inflation is still expected to tick up a little bit as a result of the past two impact of this PMS prices on food and also other non-food items. Insecurity has become a structural issue, so that expectations around insecurity issues will always come into play whenever we are talking about both the current business performances and also our future expectations for businesses.
Great. Thank you so much. All right. So thank you, Dr. Shakirin and Mr. Purandar, for drawing out those insights for us from the Business Happiness Monitor. It's been a very interesting and enlightening conversation. You know, you've really given us a very good overview as to how the business environment has been performing and, you know, what to expect in the next few months based on the results of the BCM report. So thank you so much. So I've been your host, Shay Vincent. You can find this episode and more at www.nesgroup.org/podcast. Until next time, bye for now.